yesterday. I got together with two people that I had made engagement rings for this year, and the engagements broke up. And they brought the rings back and wanted me to sell them. And, you know, it's how we think. That's what causes things like that. You know, you get together, two people get together, you know, each person's a mixed bag of experiences and injuries. We all have a history. And sometimes it just doesn't quite mesh. And, you know, you can go so far on fantasy, but fantasy isn't going to take you all the way there. One of the couples are Christians, and it's just tragic. And I wish there was some additive I could put in the alloy that would ensure the bond. I'm still looking for that. This isn't unrelated to what I'm going to talk about. First of all, let's turn to Isaiah 40:31. Very familiar passage. Well, we'll start it. Let's start at 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This really impressed me. Some of the translations say, instead of those who hope in the Lord, say those who wait on the Lord. And that waiting is not like, you know, your car breaks down and you call a tow truck and you're just waiting. It's not like that. It's like when you ask a person a question and you're anticipating the answer. Yeah. It's a little different. And what I like about this is it doesn't matter where we're at with the Lord, whether we're soaring like eagles or running or walking. As we wait on him and listen to him, he's giving us strength. I think the most critical need in the Church of Christ today is for people to hear him, to listen, to know his voice. Take time to wait. Not like on a tow truck, though. You know, it's not like you sit there and you empty your brain. You're eagerly listening, like somebody's whispering. You're straining to hear. You know how we can multitask? You know, you can be doing something and you can be listening to somebody's conversation out of the backside. So we don't have to disengage our minds in what we're doing. We can be at work, we can be at play, we can be fellowshipping with people, but we're ready. We're ready to hear that word, that silent, that quiet voice of him speaking to us. That's how he's renewing our minds. He's connecting us. We're so connected to him already, but we don't really realize it. We're not aware of it. What we think about really affects us. You know, sin. We all most likely sin, right? Sometimes it's stuff you weren't even aware of, and other times you're really aware of it, and then you have to deal with, you know, shame and things like that afterwards. But you know, I was watching myself, and sin takes planning. Did you know that? You got to plan that, because you start thinking about it, and you let those thoughts start rolling around in your head, and then it happens. You know, it gets stronger. It starts sounding, hey, yeah, let's go for that. Did you ever think about that? It takes planning. If you run over to James 1, I can demonstrate that. It's weird. The Lord showed me that it took planning, and then he quickened this scripture a few days later to me. And it's verse 13. Well, let's start at 14. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So it's just allowing those thoughts to roll around in our head that causes us trouble. We know we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is at his right hand interceding for us at this very minute. But still, the problem remains. We've been forgiven for our past, for our future, and for this very moment as well. But we want to be aware of his presence continually. And therein lies the dilemma. Let's go back over to Joel 2. That's near the end of the Bible. It's another very familiar passage. What page is that on? There it is. Right before Amos. Joel 2:28. When I was in the charismatic movement in the early 70s, this was always talked about as justification for what was going on. And I'm not saying that it was wrong, but let's look at this from a little different angle. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Well, prophecy, dreams, and visions, they all involve the renewed mind. You know, it's all mental. It's hearing from him and having the capacity for his word. I believe there's an open door today for a renewed mind. I believe God's doing that for us. You know how in life, you could be doing a really bad job. I mean, a horrible job. I'm not expressing that correctly. You could be working at something that's unpleasant and working hard at it, but your mind can be a million miles away, right? And that's the joy of it. It's like I worked at this store 25 years ago. And I volunteered to clean the bathrooms every week because I could go in there and, you know, I'm a goldsmith. I figured I was the highest paid toilet cleaner in the world, and I could go in there and I could worship the Lord, you know, in my mind. I could get away. Well, our mind is so powerful that I think a lot of times in our Christian life, we go through the motions, but our mind we keep locked up. That's private. We don't let God have it. How much of this is faith and how much of it is routine? You know, we get together, we worship, and that's a wonderful thing. I really wanted to be here for the worship today. But do we get a good feeling because we're all engaged in the same activity? Or is it the fact that we're all experiencing the power of Christ? A lot of times people come to church. There's a lot of wonderful, dedicated people. But you know, when people get together and they're all doing the same thing, there's this camaraderie that happens. Is it Christ? See, it's the way we think. It's the way we think. I want it to be Christ. There's so much in the Word about this. Look at King David. When did you become king? Oh, the other one. How many have read the Psalms? All right, good. Now, most of the Psalms are attributed to David. There's some written by some of the other guys. But look at the creativity in those Psalms. That dude was pondering the Lord. He was thinking about him. He was swept up with his thoughts of the Lord. Remember your first love? You remember that? Can you go back that far? What was on your mind? The duties, going to work, school, whatever it was? Or was it that person? It was like obsession. You just couldn't wait to be with that person. That's the Lord. He's our first love. Our new first love. Our love for all eternity. Look at the creativity in those Psalms. Brothers and sisters, as we allow the Lord into our minds to speak to us, to remind us of things, we're going to be the most creative people the planet has ever seen. You know, when you plant a fruit tree, you get a couple of whatever's the first year, you get a bigger crop the next year, and so forth, right? The older it gets, the bigger crop it can produce. We should be the same. You know, this thing of checking out mentally at a certain age and just coasting, that's baloney. A bigger crop every year in the name of Jesus. A bigger crop. That's right. Delighting in him. It's all about delighting in him. We keep our minds with a wall around them. It's good to have a disciplined mind, but not if it keeps the Lord out. Allow yourself to dream. What do you want? Some of us are just so paranoid of being disappointed because of that's the way we have deciphered our life going, that we don't want to dream. And another disappointment, another unanswered prayer. God's big. Whatever we ask or think, He's promised. Unlock your mind. Let's not be conditioned. How many have been hurt in relationships? Raise your hand. You probably be hurt more. But if, as we allow Him into our minds, and we allow Him to show us things the way they really are, somebody can move against us and we won't get hurt. We'll realize what's really going on. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, right? We take every thought captive, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above. I'm just going to unreel these. I don't want to keep talking, but I want you to have this. Ephesians 4:21, a new attitude of your minds. It's not work. It's allowing Him access. Let's not get so full of ourselves that we think everything we think is wonderful. Let's just discard it and get retrained. You know, Dave was talking about new pathways in the brain. It can happen. I bought this laser welder for my work, and it's created new ways for me to think. It's a completely new tool. It's state of the art, and I'm thinking differently. It's wonderful. It's so exciting to have your mind reprogrammed. Just to look at something you've been doing for 32 years from a completely different perspective. Let's look at our walk with God from a completely different perspective. Let's be open to something completely new. You know, Jesus, when He came to this earth, He wasn't what everybody expected. Every day isn't what we expect. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. Let's dream big. Dream for the most creative thing that can happen. The word is so creative. The word of our mouth is so creative. Our minds are so creative. So we're created in God's image. He's all about creativity. Right? Amen. Bless your minds.
Did you like the word this morning? I hope so, because if you didn't like this morning, you're not going to like next week. This theme is just so real in the spirit. We talk about, and you hear a lot about what God's doing, new thing that's coming forth in the spirit, new beginnings. And I'll tell you what, it involves a lot of things, but at the heart of it is the renewed mind.
Yeah.
And one statement you made, just it's sticking with me. If we let God into our minds? There's the question. Are we willing to allow God access to this place that we have fought so long to have control over? And if we let God into our thinking, he creates his mind, his ways within us. Just one quick verse, and I don't want to in any way take away from the power of the word this morning, but this is Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Amen. Let's stand.